the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O venerable Bede, never wast thou by laziness slothful, and never didst thou cease from study, ever reading and writing, ever teaching and praying, knowing that someone who loves salutary knowledge easily overcomes the vices of the flesh. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is one of the traditional prayers, children, to today's main saint, who is called the Venerable Bede. Now, you may know that the title Venerable is the first of the three stages of becoming a saint. When someone has died in what we call the odor of holiness and has attracted some attention because of extraordinary sanctity, the bishop opens a process of study, and then if everything looks very favorable, that such a person was probably a saint, well, then that case is referred to Rome, and when Rome accepts this case of a future saint, then that person is known as a venerable. Then later on, he might be declared by the Pope blessed, and finally, after many miracles and study, he's canonized. Those are the three different titles that are given to a saint at different stages. I want to talk to you a moment tonight, today, this morning, about titles, because today we have a saint who has an unusual title. He's called Venerable, but there's a reason for that, and today we have the commemoration of St. John the First, Pope and Martyr, and he's called a martyr, even though he didn't actually shed his blood for Christ, which is often the case with certain saints, really, down throughout the ages. In the old days, they would have been called a confessor. I remember when I was your age that it was still the style, children, for everybody to have a title when you got a letter. So if a boy your age would have gotten a letter by someone who was quite conscious of these things and quite proper in the old style, he would receive a letter addressed to him as Master. And, of course, for a young lady, it was Miss. There was none of this business of just using first names. Everyone had a proper honorific or title in front of them that sort of expresses the proper idea of respect and also of hierarchy. So it's good to think about those things, and although we don't have to be artificial or stuffy, at the same time, it's good to remember a proper and a due respect and a right way of doing things, just as you would address your mother or father in a respectful way, and or a teacher or a priest or a bishop. You would know what those titles are and you would use them properly. So too even in correspondence, and you should always be careful to be a good correspondent. If you receive a gift, for example, always to write a little thank you note, children, and always to address the thank you note in a proper way. We shouldn't get too casual about these things, because that's all sort of a function of the revolution that promotes a false equality, which means that everybody is beneath the jackboot of tyranny. We don't want any of that. No, indeed not, because we're Christians. And our greatest title is that, to be Christians who keep the true faith, that is to say, Catholics. Well, St. Bede was called Venerable because he needed a title. You see, he was such a wonderful writer about sacred scripture. He explained the Holy Gospel and even the Old Testament so well that back in his time, the 7th and 8th century in England, that sometimes his writings would be read aloud in church, even though he was still alive. He wasn't dead or he wasn't a saint or anything, but the bishops found that his writings were so helpful, and so they said, well, no, we have to give him a title. Let's call him Venerable, somebody said. Sounds good to me. So he received the title, the Venerable Bede, while he was still alive. You can imagine how holy and how learned he must have been, and that title stuck with him down throughout the centuries. Our ancient saint today, John the First, as I say, the title of a martyr. Even though he didn't actually shed his blood, he suffered very much because he refused to go along with kind of a, well, it was an ecumenical idea or a, I'll give a little and you give a little kind of approach to life, which is not usually satisfactory, children. That is to say that the heretic king, Theodoric, who was a Goth or a barbarian who had taken over Italy, he was an Arian. He didn't believe in our blessed Savior's divinity. And he heard with great anger that the Roman emperor in the east in Constantinople was closing down the heretic churches and making the heretics become Catholics and making the heretic churches into Catholic churches, reconsecrating them properly. Well, he forced the Pope, St. John the First, to go on a diplomatic mission to see the emperor about trying to make some kind of a ecumenical compromise. And although the Pope went on the trip, he wouldn't compromise our holy faith, not in the least. And when he got back to Italy, there was a price to be paid for that, and he was thrown into a noisome prison that was all filthy and horrible. And just a few days later, he died of mistreatment, but he was probably already very tired out from his trip. That's a good example, isn't it, children, of the Holy Ghost gift of fortitude. He was under a lot of pressure, but he wouldn't bend, and he knew he'd have to suffer very much, probably with his life, and he pursued the difficult good, even though it was very hard for him. That reminds me of a Korean saint who died on this day. Don't know if she's a venerable or a blessed or a saint, actually, but her name was Barbara Kim. It's a fairly easy name to remember. She was a housemaid, and she lived in early 19th century in Korea, which gave the church many, many martyrs. Well, her father, and this is just like a story from the old days of the pagan times in Rome, her father forced her to marry a pagan, and he deceived her to think that the pagan was really a Catholic man, because otherwise she wouldn't have married him. But it turned out he was a pagan and a wicked man to boot, and she was only able to get one of her children baptized because of that. Well, after his death, she gave herself to the practice of the faith, and she found a priest, and she did everything that she could to be a very zealous Catholic, and so she was arrested, and she was put into prison, and the Koreans had a horrible torture called stretching your bones, and I can only imagine what that would entail, because they wanted her to give the names of the priests and the other Catholics, and she refused to talk. She wouldn't. She would only praise our Lord, so they stretched her bones until she died. So today is her feast day too, another good example of fortitude. Now fortitude, really, if you think of it, was part of what made our saint, Bede the Venerable, such a great scholar and such a great teacher, a doctor of the church. Because, well, what happens when you sit down, children? You see, after you have your little lunch and you play and you're going to sit down again and it's time to do some phonics or some algebra or some German, whatever it might be that you have to do this afternoon. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, I'm so tired of school. I wish this day were over and I wish the school year were over and I wish the whole thing were over. Remembering, however, to use the subjunctive, which is a very good example of being well-educated. I wish it were all over. Then you think to yourself, but I've got my job to do right now, don't I? Indeed I do. So let's open the book and let's get down to work. And then sometimes you think, well, I'll just do this problem, or I'll just read this paragraph. You have to trick yourself sometimes, don't you, to get started. Or you think to yourself, well, if I don't do it, I'll get into trouble, so I may as well do it. And pretty soon, you're doing your very best, and you're pleasing God, and you've overcome how? By the help of the Holy Ghost, the gift of fortitude. You did what needed to be done. You overcame your temptation to laziness, and you worked even though you maybe didn't quite feel like it. The plus of that kind of work, children, as the prayer to St. Bede, with which we began today, indicates, is that it helps us to overcome all sorts of other temptations, because as they say, an empty mind is the devil's workshop. That's why it's good all year round, not only during the school year, to always stay busy doing something which is good and to do it as well as we can. Now, St. Bede was a saint, children, like Isidore of Seville or Albert the Great, a man of, you might say he had an encyclopedia, or if you will, a Wikipedia in his head. He had it all here in his mind, and he wrote about everything. He's a good example of what we mean by one of the more difficult to remember gifts of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of knowledge. By the gift of knowledge, we study We love to learn about all the things of this world. And St. Bede wrote about wind and about thunder and about the equinox and all natural things, as well as about the gospel and the meaning of the Bible and theology and the history of the Angles and the Saxons and England and everything else he could get his hands on. He thought about it and he wrote about it. And by the gift of knowledge, children, it's not that you know a lot of facts and you could pass a lot of tests. That's not what it means. By the gift of knowledge, it means that you get, from the study of created things, a pretty good idea about God. Because remember, unless we're doing it for God, and it's about God, and it would lead us back to God, we're wasting our time, or maybe worse. But by the gift of knowledge, everything that you study, when you're doing German, or you're doing algebra, or you're doing phonics or spelling, as well as when you're doing religion, everything tells you something more about God. And that's how it was that in the old days, the ones who preserved all of the knowledge of the world were monks and priests and bishops. They are the ones who passed on the knowledge of the ancient age, not for its own sake, but because it was God's will. And every time they studied maybe about geography or about how to draw a map or some rules of writing poetry, whatever it was, they were learning more about God. And God, the Holy Ghost, by the gift of knowledge, used whatever they were studying that day in their lesson to get them a little closer to God, to make them see, serve, and love our Lord much better than they had before. Well, that's a little bit about today's thing. He always stayed busy. And it's a remarkable thing because he lived in a monastery in northern England, two monasteries. He started in the monastery when he was 7 years old, and he never left, except between these two monasteries. But his monastery was the center of the world's knowledge during his life. This little isolated place in northern England. Everything that was known was all there. And people referred to that, and people went there, and people read what was written and done there. And it was a monastery. It was done by a monk who was following his schedule of his regular life all the way through. So you see, St. Bede has a lot to teach us today, doesn't he? But it's asked the Holy Ghost, as we do our novena today, to give us in particular, well, fortitude. We always need fortitude, and the fortitude to stay with our studies during these last weeks of school when you might be tempted a little bit to some sloth or laziness. Let's not have any of that. And especially knowledge. To see how everything you learn during this school year and during this school day is going to somehow bring you a little bit closer to Almighty God. That is the gift of knowledge. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.